All right, folks, gather round because today's episode features me, your humble host, Ted Ludlum, and Mark Carpenter, which means things are guaranteed to go off the rail at least twice, maybe three times if I forget my notes, which, if you know me, is about as often as winter arriving in North Idaho. Now, Mark showed up ready to talk about some serious topics. And when I say ready, I mean he strolled in with that confident look that he gets right before he realizes he's left half of his facts in his truck. But don't worry, between the two of us, we almost make one functioning adult. Almost. We covered some important issues that matter to our community, but naturally we couldn't resist drifting into some non-serious stuff. Mark can't stay serious longer than a Labrador Retriever in a room full of tennis balls. And I'm not much better. I get distracted every time someone mentions coffee or food or something shiny, like maybe the light on my microphone. So honestly, it felt just like two buddies killing time at the local coffee shop, solving absolutely nothing, but feeling really proud of the effort. And you know what? That's the charm. A little wisdom, a little nonsense, and a whole lot of, did we really just say that on the air? So settle in and pour yourself a cup and enjoy this conversation between two guys who should probably never be left unsupervised with recording equipment. This is Almost Paradise in North Idaho. But first, a word from one of our sponsors, because there is snow in the forecast. I don't know if we're going to get a half an inch or a half a foot or 6 feet, but it's coming. And we have the North Idaho Upper Body Workout Program, known as the Snow Shovel. You need to get out and get yours today. Are you tired of gyms, expensive memberships, and trendy fitness apps? Good, because Winter has delivered the ultimate workout system, the Snow Shovel. It's lightweight, it's durable, and it's guaranteed to make your neighbors jealous as you heroically clear your driveway, one scoop at a time, while wondering at the same time why you didn't move to Arizona for the winter. But you can buy one today and enjoy that classic North Idaho feeling of pride, exhaustion, and, wait, is it snowing again? Snow shovels, because winter doesn't shovel itself. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another exciting podcast called Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And today, I have a guest, and we're going to be talking about whatever I want to talk about. Actually, he's going to talk about some things he wants to talk about too, which I may fall asleep during, but that's okay. And you won't know unless I start to snore or bump my head. Yeah. And Mark Carpenter, my fearless partner from years gone by. Cheers. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm up here in North Idaho, 30 miles from the Canadian border. And for the first time, really, the 10-day forecast has the S word in it. You know what the S word is? Careful.
Snow.
Snow. Yes. Rhymes with no.
No.
No snow. Well, it's in the forecast.
It's time.
No.
Well, this area tends to follow pretty specific timing about when weather changes are going to happen. It's usually about Thanksgiving when you have your first snow.
That's true. That's true. And we've been blessed. Now, I do want to also just say that I just want to thank all of you for hitting the play button. And my audience has doubled from 5 to 10, you know? So well, I'm moving up. Double digits. Someday it might be triple digits.
No, you're being facetious, right?
Somewhat facetious. Yeah. Yes, I'm being facetious.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm humble. I appreciate the thousands out there that have specifically requested your return. Yes.
Yeah.
No facetious here at all.
Not a bit.
So anyway, and if you, during the course of this podcast, I have ordered some equipment, and it's going to, I got better microphones coming. I've got a mixer that's going to work on the quality of my sound and make me sound better than I really am. Going to make me sound like maybe
Sam Elliott.
There you go. That'll be even better. Or Perry Como or Frank Sinatra. And when I sing, I can do all kinds of stuff. So if people are looking forward to that, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Mark, what brings you by our humble little studio here?
You asked me. No.
I know you. No, I did not.
No. Hey, look, there's some topics to talk about. I really don't want to get too, what would you say, too deep.
You don't want to be the grouch?
I don't want to be the grouch.
Even though it's Thanksgiving's coming up and Christmas, and we don't want to be the grouch.
No, we're
the Grinch. The Grinch.
The Grinch. The Grinch. It's just ongoing of topics that have been going on around here for a while. One is the Canadian truckers.
Canadian truckers.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me an update.
Coming into town yesterday, I'm coming into town, and this trucker from Ontario, I think he wanted to turn around, or maybe the way the logbooks work now, when it's time to shut down, you got to shut down. So maybe he was looking for a place to cut off to the side and whatever. And so he just stopped right in the middle of the road in the opposite lane, you know, and trucks who were going southbound, there was a logging truck coming southbound and saw this big truck sitting in the lane, stopped, and he couldn't turn. So this logging truck slammed on his brakes, and I mean slammed on his brakes and downshifted. And
is this for local people, if nothing else, is this north of the river? North Hill?
No, this is south of the river. This okay. is as you're the big hill before you come into town where the passing lane is going up that hill.
Oh, yeah. That's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles south of town.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough place. A lot of stuff has happened on that grade. But this guy just got in the other lane and just stopped. Totally not cognizant of the fact that somebody else is coming the other way and might not be able to stop in time. And luckily, you know, I'll say this for the loggers around here. They know what they're doing. They know how to drive their trucks. They pay attention. And this guy downshifted and just slammed on his brakes, and his trailer was shifting and everything. And he stopped in time, and this guy kind of woke up and went, oh, I've got to get back in the northbound lane and keep going.
And this logging truck was full of logs?
Yeah.
So that can be, even if you know what you're doing, you could have trouble with balance and shifting weight.
I'll just say, thank God for loggers. Loggers are kind of like the bus drivers of old. You know, it used to be you get on a bus, and the guy who's running the bus, he was super attentive and a really good driver. Well, that's the way the loggers are around here. They're probably the best drivers on the road.
Oh, and you know, a lot of us have neighbors who are logging drivers. Yeah. So very much.
And these guys live in this community, and they're very respectful and very cognizant of what they're doing all the time. That's a big word for today.
Well, and they, you know, they care because their neighbors have children, their neighbors have children. You never know who might be on the highway sharing the highway with you as a big old logging truck driver. And so they're very concerned, and they're local, and they care.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the cross-country truck drivers may not be so aware.
This one was from Ontario. And so I brought it up to the police, and they just kind of basically threw up their hands and said, you know, they gave the Alfred E. Newman response. What me worry?
No issues. No, no blood, no harm.
See, that's not putting down the police. It's that they've done their job so many times, and every time something goes to, they dutifully cite these people and everything. These guys, they turn a fatality into a misdemeanor. So they're like, what do you want me to do about it? You know, the judge is just going to let him go.
So there's a lack of support by the legal higher-ups, perhaps.
And I could even name the judge, but I'm
going to?
No.
Well, you're no fun.
No, I don't feel like having a...
Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
Judges... Boundary County.
Yeah, I just don't feel the necessity to do that because you never know what position you might be in at some point.
And, you know, there's always details that we may not be aware of.
Yeah.
But
when you have homicide, and you turn it from, you got the choice in charging instructions to go from misdemeanor or felony, and I really don't know who's ever been charged with a felony. It's all been misdemeanor. So.
Okay. Now, and you have been concerned, rightfully so, about a lot of these truck drivers not really being aware of the laws here in the United States because they're from another country, perhaps.
It, lack of attention. They all get cited for distracted driving. And they're not focusing. They're on their cell phone. They're on watching a movie, whatever.
Eating a hamburger.
Eating a hamburger. I don't think they eat a hamburger.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah. All the above. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before another incident happens. And then what are we going to talk about it and say, told you?
Because we have had some tragic and near tragic accidents on Highway 95 heading north out of Canada, south into the United States, roads right through our community. And it's an issue that needs attention and needs to be addressed. And some of our local politicians are a little lukewarm in addressing that issue, in my opinion.
A lot of it has to do with commerce, not wanting to interrupt interstate commerce or inter-country commerce. A lot of it has to do with the laws that are on the books and the laws that are not on the books. No one wants to make the trucking companies accountable because they fear lawsuits. If they make the truck, because the trucking companies are very litigious. That's a big word. Thank you. That's the second big
litigious.
Word.
Litigious. I got to write these down. You're on a roll.
I've been drinking mushroom coffee. So that rice coffee. Just, you know, hey, I'm a new man.
Okay.
All right.
Is that a commercial?
Yeah. Let me put the sam for rice coffee.
Helps you rise in the morning.
You rise in the morning.
And we are 10:30 in the morning here, so you're on fire.
I'm on fire with all the big words. But anyway, there's really, I mean, even I'm at the point of going, okay, what me worry? Because I've talked to everybody that's associated with it and discussed all the different ramifications or possible laws or any of that. And other jurisdictions are addressing it wholeheartedly, like Washington State, even Montana is addressing it wholeheartedly, but we're not. And that's why a lot of these trucks come through here, is because they're not facing the scrutiny that they face in Montana or Washington State.
Yeah. And usually we have our differences with Washington State.
Sure.
But in this case, they're doing a job.
They're doing the job. They're really, they're checking truckers, they're checking loads, they're checking all that. And it's consistent. Montana, especially up by Eureka, they're consistent. And they're going after the truckers, the trucking companies. Well, we went in the direction we didn't think we were going to go, but okay.
Okay.
That's all. Really all there is. There's nothing really, until somebody's willing to jump off the fence, no reason to talk about it anymore.
Well, we'll see how these things develop as we get into the next legislative session and what's going on, and as the months go by and we get into 2026 and so on. Mark, Eagle Eye Mark, will be watching and will report back, I'm sure.
I am going to talk to Idaho Department of Transportation again.
See, I'm going to have to put Mark on the payroll as my investigative reporter.
I don't know how much I want to investigate anymore.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to get burned or whatever.
I don't have a fear of retribution. I have a fear of
divorce?
No, no, that's not it either. I have a fear of that everybody is complacent.
Yes. And you don't want to be.
I don't want to be, but I'm like, you know, hey, let it go.
And now another commercial break. Just real quick, guys. We'll be back with Mark in just a minute. But first, we need to talk about, with winter here and snow coming, gloves. We need to protect your hands from poor little life choices. Winter is here, folks, and that means it's time to protect your hands from frostbite and frozen steering wheels and any brilliant idea that involves touching metal outdoors. Introducing gloves. Yes, just gloves. They're warm, stylish, and they prevent you from reenacting that scene from A Christmas Story with your door handle. Whether you're shoveling snow or feeding the wood stove or waving at your neighbor, pretending that you really enjoy winter, your hands deserve better. Gloves, because fingers are hard to replace.
Some positive things. The charter school, the academy,
Yes, the classical North Idaho Classic School, which I had a podcast a couple weeks ago that you might want to check into. Go ahead.
And they have torn down the old mill, and they're laying out what they're going to do with plumbing. And I had a long talk with him at the fair, and he showed me his prints. And that was my, not plumbing per se, but building was my expertise. And I said, hey, move this over here, move this over here, move this over here, so you don't have long runs at plumbing, and it's all in one general location.
Well, we all know what runs downhill.
Yeah, true. And
you'd be an expert on that.
Yeah, so I went in there when they were having their, they had a employment seminar. And I went in there and talked to him, and he opened up the plans. He said, I want to show you something. And he said, we moved this over here and that over there and moved that over there, so it's all in the same general location. And I said, okay, you know.
Now, your name is Mark Carpenter for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, truly. Maybe I shouldn't have put that. You want me to edit that out?
No. Okay. I never wanted to get into construction.
But you did, and you have experience in it.
Oh, yeah. I had 30-something years of experience.
Right.
And never liked it. Honestly,
it was a job, and it paid the bills.
It was a job, it paid the bills, and it had health care for my kids and all the good stuff. So I stuck with it until I got a retirement out of it.
Now, another quick commercial break, and this is actually very worthwhile and actually very serious, because this Thursday, our friends at 3 Mile Cafe are having something special, something warm, generous, and perfectly North Idaho. They're opening the doors for a free Thanksgiving dinner for everyone who could use a good meal, good company, or just doesn't feel like burning the turkey this year in their oven. For the first slice of turkey to the last piece of pie that you swear you don't even have room for, but you eat anyway, 3 Mile Cafe wants you to feel at home. Bring your family, bring a friend, or come on your own and make a few new ones. No judgment, no pressure, and no bill. Just kindness, community, and a whole lot of gravy. Because Thanksgiving isn't just about having the perfect house or the perfect table. It's about gratitude. It's about remembering that we are all neighbors and we're all blessed in this little town together where we live. So this Thursday, come on out to 3 Mile Cafe. Share a meal, share a smile, and leave a little more thankful than when you walked in. 3 Mile Cafe's free Thanksgiving dinner, where the only thing richer than the mashed potatoes is the heart behind it. Yeah. Well, let's talk about music here real quick. That's sure. A nice segue. Okay?
Thank you.
We were looking for a way to get out of the serious stuff. So truly, November 29th, which is just about a week away, is my birthday. Yes, so everybody wants to mail me some presents. At the end, I'll give you my address, and you can mail me presents or something.
Now, that's so, your 45th birthday? Or?
Yeah, 45th, that's right. So happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to Ted.
That's right. And on that day, November 29th in 1963, 10 years after I was born, so now you can do the math. That's complicated math for Mark. Yeah. Get out the calculator. Happy anniversary to a record that was released on November 29th, 1963, that in its own way changed music a little bit.
Sure.
And it was by the Beatles, and it was recorded, well, it doesn't matter when it was recorded, but it was released to the United States November 29th, and it was called I Want to Hold Your Hand. Yep. That was the first Beatles song released in the United States, according to the research I did. And, of course, it reached number one on the Billboard, and some say started the British invasion of American music. So I kind of wanted to take a couple of minutes about that, because according to my research, that first Beatles recording was made using four-track technology.
Yeah, it was.
Which was a big deal then.
Yeah.
Now, you're a musician, and you're involved with sound and putting things together. So I didn't know if you had a reaction or thoughts on that.
On four-track recording?
Yeah, or whatever, and the song in general.
No, you take a lot of great songs. Not only you go before that, you take Elvis's recordings at Sun Studio. Again, that was with a four-track.
Yeah. And now, I had an eight-track.
Yeah, well, so did I. Yeah. No, I, you know, I've recorded 32 track before, you know, and I don't think it gets any better. I really don't. The 4-track, they used really nice, really great reverb and natural reverb, and it just had a real, it had a real sound to it. Okay?
Okay.
And I won't get all technical. In digital, everything is like a mountain. It goes up, sharp, drop down, up, down. When you use an analog recording, it's rounded.
Okay.
So the tones are rounded, smoother.
Okay.
And so the Beatles recordings, Elvis's recordings, the natural reverb and everything that was in there, you got to say something about simplicity.
Yes. That, I like that. Simple.
Yeah. And of course they had the greatest producer of all time, you know. That produced their records.
What was his name?
Oh, God.
Ringo Starr?
No, it was a Ringo Starr.
Sullivan? Some guy named Ed Sullivan?
No.
See, I can't remember.
He's now a knight. I can't think of his name.
You get technical about things and you lose me real quick.
Yeah.
But somebody can write in and I can correct and add to that official record.
Yeah, and he produced records way up into the 80s, their producer, and including like Cheap Trick and some others. And it's all his work had a really good analog sound.
Now, let me ask you this. Okay. What do you think made that song, and I'm going to use the word pop, so much when it did in 1963 and into 1964? Before we get to Mark's well-thought-out and deep answer to that question, I have another little 30-second commercial. 30 seconds. I talk too long, so it's going to go 60 seconds. Let's just face it. But anyway, I want to talk again in the theme of winter coming, ATV tire chains. For when winter laps at your confidence, you need tire chains. You got an ATV and the confidence of a mountain goat. Winter doesn't care. That's why you need ATV tire chains. The only thing standing between you and sliding gracefully into your neighbor's pasture. These chains grip the snow like a toddler grabbing a candy bar. So be prepared, be safe, and more importantly, avoid becoming a YouTube winter blooper. ATV tire chains, because traction isn't optional. Buy yours today. I just bought a new pair last week, which is why I thought about doing this commercial.
People were ready for a change.
They were tired of old Blue Eyes.
Kind of the same problem as right now, that Nashville pushes what they want to push on people, and people get fed up with it, and they want a new sound, but Nashville's reluctant to push out a new sound because everything's predicated on what they do. Well, this music that came out of England was different.
And people are a little risk aversion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work, and let's just do what we did 10 years ago because that worked.
Yeah.
Yeah? So they don't want to take the risk.
At that period of time, all albums were basically, most albums remained in the same studio by the same group of musicians. And although they were really good musicians, you know, you could tell. It was all, you know, all the way up from the late 50s through to the early 70s made by the same group of musicians.
Now, Mark, you were a musician. I would even say you probably still are, but you just don't practice it very much.
Yeah.
But you had a band.
Uh-huh.
1980s?
Oh, 70s.
70s, okay.
Yeah.
What was the name of your band?
There were several of them.
Okay.
There was Wreckage.
Wreckage.
There was a Jason Allen band. There was, you know, just all kinds of Marauder.
The Marauders, okay.
Yeah. Well,
generally speaking, what would you describe your genre as?
I tried not to have a genre.
Okay, well, okay. If I went to one of your concerts or dances that you were playing at, what might I expect?
When I was in charge of it and I was picking the material.
And you were lead singer,
yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I tried to do a little bit of everything. You might start out hearing Tom Petty, and then hear a little bit of Hank Williams, and then end up with Led Zeppelin and Ozzy Osbourne and all this stuff. So you're going to hear a little bit of everything, you know. And that's what I did when was singing, is I wanted to do a little bit of everything. Of course, like everybody else, I started out with Elvis, then went to Journey, and you know, just a lot of different, and Neil Diamond, a lot of different influences.
How would you have felt, like this song that the Beatles did, it had, oh gosh, a million advance orders. Beatles, that song had a million advance orders.
Sure.
Did you record any records with advance orders?
No. No. Nobody had any. We recorded some stuff, but.
Yeah? Could I find it online?
No. No.
Did you play a musical instrument?
No, I sang.
You sang.
My job was to sing, and then I controlled the PA system, and I managed the band.
Okay.
Here are all the.
Well, maybe next time we could get some requests in
for
you to sing a song.
Sure.
You know, and we could get the better equipment, my microphones and stuff.
Yeah.
And it'll sound better, because right now I'm sure you would blow the circuits on my current system. But with the better system.
No, I would sing softly.
Softly.
Yeah.
Is that a song you wrote, Softly?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Well, we'll look forward to that song.
Sure.
Okay.
But no, getting back to the Beatles, I think it was the right time. They were young. And it was the post-World War II generation, and they wanted to own their own. There are more musicians that have been influenced by the Beatles and that song than any other artist has put out.
When I was 10 years old, the summer of 1964, okay, so I was still 10, do the math, I was in Chicago. My parents were there for reasons. And I was there, and I didn't have any brothers or sisters. And I noticed down Michigan Avenue in Chicago, there were big billboard signs that the Beatles were coming for a concert in Chicago.
Probably Soldier Field?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea where. I don't remember that. Now, you're asking me to remember. I probably couldn't even read that then. I just saw the picture.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
And I know. I was like, wow, the Beatles. I didn't know that much about the Beatles, you know, at that time. But I remember. My dad had a very negative reaction to the Beatles.
Generational.
Generational, because they had long hair. Now, if you actually look at the Beatles in the early 60s, they didn't, I mean, they did have longer hair than a lot of people, but it certainly wasn't like what we would run into later on.
No. The whole thing, even with the Beatles, from their first albums to the albums closer to the end of their career, you know, they changed too. You know, they did a lot of, they were doing a lot of different things. But when you're playing with stuff. But no, I think that it was just generational. And it kind of closed the door on the Elvis generation. I'm not saying Elvis didn't put out some hits after that. He sold a lot of records after that.
Yeah.
It was just that they were wanting something new.
There was a closure from the 50s into the 60s. And it was just definitely a transition there.
Yeah.
And I really do identify more with the 60s and early 70s for me. So I really identify to that music. There's no doubt.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of the Beatles.
See, I wasn't at first, but I did later on. Yeah. I came to appreciate them more.
I was a big fan, believe it or not, of James Brown, Sam and Dave, all that kind of stuff. I like blues and I guess you would say black music.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I didn't. Growing up in Southeast Kansas, we were in the Bible Belt.
Oh, I know.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they were very, the radio stations I listened to, the biggest one that we all listened to was WHB out of Kansas City.
Sure.
And we listened to that all the time. And they played all the top pop 40 and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And late 60s, early 70s, and so on. And I never heard, for example, there was censorship going on. There were certain songs that were not played.
Yeah, Elvis got censored when he first came out.
Yeah. Well, for example, I never heard of the song by Simon and Garfunkel, Cecilia.
Yeah.
Until, I don't know when, mid-70s? Right. And it was a hit. I had never heard of it because there's a line in there and there's an image that comes to mind with that song. I'm not going to get into the details. Well, I could have you sing it. But
I know the line. I just came into my head.
Yeah. You know.
When I got out of there, someone's taking my place.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He got up to wash his face and someone had taken his place.
Okay.
That was it. Now I'm going to be censored.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a lot of that going on in the Bible Belt of Southeast Kansas, down in the Ozark area, and so on. So the Beatles were pretty, and I remember, oh my gosh, when John Lennon came out and said he was bigger than Jesus.
Bigger than Jesus.
Yes. Oh, man. They were banning the Beatles for a while and on. And it was a big deal back there where I live. Probably not in California, but it was here.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Getting back to, and we'll wrap this up about, I want to hold your hand. Do you want to hold my hand?
No.
No? Oh, well, no. I just didn't want to have any confusion about that.
No. Sorry. Like you, but we're not going there.
Now, Terry, my old friend Terry, he might want to hold my hand, but I don't think I'd let him.
Yeah, that's...
Just letting you know. I'm just saying.
That's like...
He's not my type.
Yeah, that's like Grizzly Adams holding your hand.
There you go. Now, Terry is in Wisconsin right now. He's going to go hunting deer with his son and some other friends, and so he's going to be out there in the woods with a gun. Think about that.
One of my first memories was with my dad in Appleton, Wisconsin. Actually, up in the...
You're originally from Wisconsin.
Yeah, and hunting deer with my dad.
Yeah, there's a lot of deer there.
Oh, everywhere. I mean, but here is as well. My front yard, backyard, I shouldn't say. I had 30 deer in the backyard the other day.
You had a picture on Facebook of a big old buck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, no, and they have a tendency to make it in our neighborhood because...
They make it?
They make it too, but they don't get killed in our neighborhood. Let's put it that way.
So, I've got... How would you compare today's music to the music of that era, the 60s?
Wow. I wasn't prepared for that question.
And now, as we wait with bated breath for Mark's thoughts on music then and music now, I'm going to take a little one-minute break here and talk about Black Friday specials. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Friday is upon us, the annual holiday where we all try to convince ourselves that we're saving money by spending money. And you know what? This year, go for it. Whether you're hunting down that big screen TV, replacing the coffee maker that gave up in September, or buying tools that you might use someday, this is the week to gear up. Stores everywhere are rolling out deals bigger than a Boundary County snowbank. Electronics, clothes, kitchen gadgets, power tools, toys. It's all fair game. And there's something beautiful about watching dads and teenagers and grandmas all sprint toward the same pallet for discounted air fryers. But here's the secret. Black Friday isn't just for the bargains. It's about the thrill, the treasure hunt, the satisfaction of scoring that half price whatever it is that you absolutely convinced yourself you needed at 5:30 in the morning. So grab your wallet, grab a list, and maybe grab a cup of coffee strong enough to wake you up. This Black Friday, shop smart, shop early, and shop like a legend, because nothing says holiday spirit like celebrating great deals and surviving them. I got it written down right here.
Look, there's a lot of today's music that is garbage. And I mean, I play music all the time, pretty musicology-based guy, you know. And I play what works. Music for me as a DJ or whatever is ammunition. So as long as it makes people move and makes people happy, I'll play it. I don't care what genre it is.
See, Mark is, he's being a little modest, but I'm going to say it. He does the music for a lot of weddings.
Yeah.
And dances, high school dances and stuff, the prom, him and his wife do that. They have their own little business and they play music at these dances. So you got your pulse on what the kids want to hear.
Not so much anymore. Say 10 years ago, I really knew exactly where they were headed with music. And I was I played it, but I was not happy with a lot of it. Not because it's just not a lot of thought. I mean, you know, during the hip-hop era, there was this one band called Outkast. And I thought Outkast was great because there was a lot of thought into their music and the musicality of what they did. Bruno Mars, I thought he was great because, again, he had ballads, he had hip-hop, he had a little bit of everything, and it was varied. So I liked those artists, but those artists were far and few in between in that era. Today, You know, the biggest thing right now, guess what, again, is Taylor Swift. And I've got nothing against Taylor Swift. She has her pulse on what people want to hear.
Young girls.
Well, yeah, no. More than that. I have to credit myself as being a fan, okay? I have a fan because it's all lyric-based. It's, you know, it's all based on what she writes about her experiences of her life and different part of her life. This latest album, I was like listening to it from the aspect of just musicality. I'm looking for a hit that I can play at a wedding. I'm going, no, I don't like that one. And then Ballad of Ophelia. I didn't like it until I saw it. She had a little dance routine and everything involved in it. And then it made it kind of pop, you know? So she's got a pulse on.
Now, I heard a few weeks ago, and I don't know if this is accurate, but I heard it somewhere, okay. Podcast. I listened somewhere. To various podcasts. I heard it somewhere. For the first time in, like, I don't know, 20 years, there were zero rap songs in the top 40.
As a genre. And it had a stranglehold on everything for a long time. As a genre, it's fading. I'm not going to say there's not going to be any hip-hop hits, because there will be. But I think as it's kind of like disco came in and did its thing, and it had a lot shorter run than hip-hop has. Hip-hop has been there for a long time, probably 20 years. It had, just like rock and roll in its first run, was about that long. So it hadn't really disappeared.
And one thing goes out, perhaps, and mm-hmm. something new is coming in.
Yeah.
And that new is AI-generated songs.
Frankly, knowledgeably, I have not heard. I'm not saying I didn't hear one and not know it, but I've not heard an AI-generated song.
The AI, the number one country song in America today,
yeah,
is AI-generated. And it is called Walk My Walk. And it's by a band called Breaking Rust. And there's no human involved. And the video, if you go on YouTube and you look that up, Breaking Rust. And the song is Walk My Walk. And I heard about it and I looked it up. Joy and I were stunned how good it is. You would never know it was AI. Most people wouldn't. Maybe some expert, but it's like scary good.
Yeah. Look, so much of music anymore is generated by a computer anyway. And even like vocals, vocals are manipulated by, you know, computers. So the idea that a computer-generated song could be good, I have no real issue. Well, no, I have an issue. I don't want to take the human out of the
equation.
Yeah.
Production, whatever.
Yeah, but could AI songs dominate the music charts? Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to, ending on that high note.
Yeah. No,
we're going to shift gears.
I'm just saying it's just where we're at. That's all. It's like our self-driving cars and trucks going to make it on American highways. Answer to that is yes. So we are at the precipice of, another big word, we're at the precipice.
Wow.
Maybe I'm AI generated. We're at the precipice.
A holographic image.
Of a total new generation. Okay.
Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit here.
Sure.
Mark said I can lead him off a cliff if possible.
I don't care.
Okay. One of the things that's kind of been on my mind this week is the upcoming anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, President Kennedy.
Sure.
Okay. Now, we're up here in North Idaho. We're a long ways from Dallas. But certain moments in history kind of reach out and you're reminded of it on at least a yearly basis. And that's one of them. So I thought, hey, let's talk a little bit about that. And you were how old when Kennedy was assassinated?
Five.
Okay, five. And I was, again, probably Man, I mean, it was like the week he was assassinated in November 1963, November 22nd, which, while we're recording this, is tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was in fifth grade.
Sure.
Okay? What's your memory of that? There's certain moments that everybody tends to, oh, I remember that day.
Okay. I was in a sandbox in Appleton, Wisconsin. It hadn't turned really cold yet. And I'm playing with my Tonka trucks and the thing, and my grandmother came out crying. And, of course, I love my grandmother very much. And I said, what's the matter?
So you weren't in school yet?
Yeah.
Because I was in school.
I wasn't.
Okay.
But anyway, she came and we cried. And we were Irish Catholic. Our Irish Catholic. And John F. Kennedy was a hero of Irish Catholics. And it tore us up. We knew that this is a polar change. And without knowing the ramifications of it or everything that was behind it, we sensed, or my parents sensed, what was behind it.
I was in fifth grade, and I came in from lunch with a bunch of other kids. Fifth grade, you know, we're running around,
yeah,
and, you know, running up the stairs of the school to the classroom and all that kind of stuff. And the teacher had the radio on. My fifth grade teacher, Miss Pence.
Okay.
I don't know if she was Miss or Mrs., but it was Miss Pence. Never had the radio on. You know, she was very, to me, an old lady. You know, I didn't even know she...
Probably in her 30s.
Yeah. No, I think she might have been in her 40s, honestly, objectively thinking back, but that's ancient, you know.
Yeah, right.
And that's my first, oh, you know, what's going on? And about a few minutes later, because at that time, he wasn't dead yet.
Yeah.
He had just been shot. Okay. Now, I was a bit of a news nerd.
Okay.
I knew who President Kennedy was and this and that. And this was like a year after the Cuban Missile Crisis. I was aware of that. So I was very young, but I was very aware in a big over umbrella type way of things. So about an hour later, they came out and said that he had died. And she was really shook up. And, you know, we were, you know, yeah, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is bad. And they actually let school out shortly after that.
Yeah.
And we went home. And I know my dad was, I had never seen my dad cry before.
Yeah.
And he was crying. He was sitting in front of the TV when I came into the house.
Yeah.
And watching the news. And like, wow. That's kind of when it really hit home. Like, whoa, this is bigger than I even thought.
I guess to a lot of Americans, it was the end of the hope that America was going to live up to its promise.
I got a phrase here. It marked the end of American innocence.
Sure.
I mean, we had won World War II, where the 50s was American decade in the world. Rock and roll and domination and, I guess there was a little bit of concern about the bomb, you know, but I wasn't aware of it. But it really kind of changed things. And maybe for the first time, Americans realized that even the leader of the free world wasn't entirely safe. Because at that moment, who did this? Is Russia behind this? Who killed Kennedy? That was kind of the moment at that time. I remember that. You know, who's Lee Harvey Oswald? Oh, he's from Russia. You know, there was all kinds of rumors going on, you know. And he'd been trained by the Russians. And are we going to be attacked now because our president is shot? I remember vaguely all that kind of stuff. So it was a real major turning point, perhaps, throughout. You know, Kennedy was young, and, like, you know, he launched the space program. He said, we're going to go to the moon. He was charismatic. He was this and that. And then all of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a big turning point.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, is that, you know, about 70% of the American government or American people didn't believe the story of how he was killed or who killed him.
Yeah, what's the rest of the story?
What's the rest of the story? And they were right to be, and when you have 70% of the population that feel that way, that's just common sense. That it, and not only that, but when a gentleman came up and killed, Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald, that just put a bookmark of now we're dealing with some serious BS.
You know, up to that point, I think Americans really trusted their government.
Sure.
We'd won the big war. We were defending the free world from communism. Yes, Korea was kind of a mess, but we stopped the aggression. We'd had 10 years of peace. And then this happened. And then as the years followed after that, whether it was 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, there was just, why won't you tell us what really happened? Why aren't you talking to the government? Why don't you trust us with the truth? There's more to this than you're saying. And so that's when the erosion of trust of the government kind of began and has since increased.
Well, look, everybody knew, everybody felt that our government itself had something to do with it. And I don't think anything's really unproven that. Matter of fact, it's made it more possible. Is that, did the CIA have anything to do with it? Did the FBI have anything to do with it?
Yeah. And it still shapes, to this day, his assassination and the reaction to it and the mystery behind it and the unresolved issues behind it has really taken on it has helped shape American culture and to some point, I use the word mythology maybe. When presidents are assassinated, Lincoln, for example, there's what we call a halo effect.
Yeah.
The president becomes more virtuous than he was. What's that?
Omnipotent.
Yeah. And we forget the bad things because later on we started to find out more details about Kennedy and his private life and maybe his family's connection with organized crime and stuff like that.
Deals with the devil.
Yeah, you know. But up to that point and even beyond, there was just there's still a mythology to the Kennedy name.
Sure.
To a certain extent, there still is.
I think it's towards the waning end. It's kind of like...
Yes.
It's the Kennedy name as far as opening doors isn't quite there as it used to be. And even, I think a lot of it had to do with that was like the Bush name, people don't have the same outlook on the Bush family that they used to because a lot of things came forward about the Bush family. And including, up into and including, some possible involvement in the Kennedy assassination. So, it's...
We talk about, just recently, the protest, no kings.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the American Revolution was fought to get rid of a king.
Yep.
Okay? But it's interesting because shortly after the Revolution... I'm really going off on a tangent.
Okay, go ahead.
Hang on.
You're in charge of this.
Okay. The big family that became important right after the Revolution was the Adams family.
Sure.
There was President John Adams and then John Quincy Adams, and there was another Adams that was a member of the Supreme Court. The Adams family was huge, not the TV show.
Yeah, okay? I was going to start humming the theme song.
But it seems like there's a little bit of a yearning because in the early 20th century, the Roosevelt family. Theodore Roosevelt, then later Franklin D. Roosevelt. And then we got into the Kennedy family a little bit, and then the Bush family. And there are those, some of them like, oh my gosh, the Trump family. Because President Trump has some children that are very dynamic, ambitious. Is this, and people go, oh, no kings. And yet there's something... Americans are even fascinated with the British monarchy in many ways.
Well, sure.
So there's a stability there or a comfort. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
They want to have heroes to look up to. Just like when we talked about the Beatles. We talked about Elvis. Talked about people want to have people to look up to as their superstars, right? But then those superstars, whoever they may be, whether in politics or music, become all too human. And in the end, they're just human beings with frailties and stupidities and, just all that stuff. They become very human. I mean, after Kennedy died, we found out that he was dating the same girl as Sam Giancana. and that he was an addict. I won't go into it.
Are we talking about Marilyn Monroe?
Well, she was in there too.
She was in there too.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other lady.
What is her name? But she was dating Sam Giancana, who was head of the mafia at the time.
Mm.
And so they both shared the same girlfriend while he was married. So,
and the death of Marilyn Monroe, who was a girlfriend, I'm sorry.
Yeah, of her and Bobby.
Yeah, and that was a mysterious thing. She knew too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, pillow talk. And she had to be eliminated. Is one of the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
You know?
And that, along with a lot of other ones, won't be proven.
No. But let's, I think it also, on another little note, the Kennedy assassination shook the American psyche because it revealed how suddenly, quickly, unexpectedly things can change.
Well, it wasn't just the Kennedy assassination. It was Martin Luther King.
The whole 60s.
Yeah, it was Malcolm X. It was
Bobby Kennedy.
You know, whole series. We were okay with whatever was going on to take out foreign leaders. Okay? Because that's what the CIA did, was take out foreign leaders in order to change society to the way they wanted it to be.
Vietnam.
Yeah.
We could get into that, but we're not.
We're not going down that rabbit hole. But they took out foreign leaders in order to hope to direct society in the way that was beneficial to their vision of the United States. How's that?
Now, we know how America did react to the Kennedy assassination. How do you think America would react today if Trump was assassinated? I mean, successfully blown away, like a Charlie Kirk on TV. Everybody sees it.
Okay, we are in a divided society today.
And we weren't that divided in 1963. There was a racial component and this and that.
Yeah.
But not the same.
90-whatever percent of the population looked up to John Kennedy. And so when he was taken, when he was killed, our society felt bad. When Martin Luther King died, it still was not as polarized as what it would be today. Now you have two teams. And all you have to do is look at the Charlie Kirk assassination, and you've got to go, our country is so divided. And some applauded it. But the majority went, oh no. You know, this is horrible. Which it was. So today, it would be the same. Part of society would be very angry, and part of society would be, you know, applauding it.
Okay? You know, and that's a whole nother podcast of where are we today as a nation, as a society, geopolitical, and so on. And that's a deep rabbit hole that I don't want to go into today.
No, I wouldn't either, because there's a whole lot in there.
But someday we might do that.
Yeah, of how America's changed.
But I think, yeah. And you got any closing comments, or I'm going to shift gears into something much lighter?
No, shift into much lighter. We've done.
Maybe you got something you want to get off your chest.
Oh? No, I don't.
Okay. Well, I got something I want to get off my chest.
Okay.
Because this week is the birthday of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Already.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Now, this is where all of my clicks are turning it off. But hang in there with us a little bit, okay?
Look, Minnie and Mickey and all that stuff harkens back to a time, again,
1928.
Yeah, 1928.
Where were you when you, in 1928?
But I know it all started with a cartoon called Steamboat Willie.
Yes.
And Mickey was driving the steamer down the thing.
Down the river.
Steamboat Willie. And Walt Disney was a cartoonist that had successes and failures. And his life never clicked until he came up with the character of Mickey Mouse.
And Steamboat Willie.
All of a sudden, he was the guy.
And he broke ground with the animation of the time and the music and all that kind of stuff. And it was right before the Depression hit. And so they just carried through.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it was a positive thing. Now, we could talk about Disney of today, but I don't really want to, because it takes down another dark rabbit hole. But I would say at that period of time, it was, you know, as long as Walt Disney was alive, Disney was family orientated and it was positive, 100%.
What was the first Disney movie you saw?
Snow White.
Snow White?
Yeah.
The new one?
No, the old one.
The old one. Did you want to go see the new one?
No.
No. Okay. So, what? You, I can't tell you what. I can't really tell you the first Disney movie I saw. I can't re, I, you know, I just saw so many of them. You know,
I'm like you, we went to drive-ins a lot.
Well, we won't talk about that in too graphic detail.
With the family, okay?
Oh, okay.
And saw a lot of Disney. Of course, I was a big fan of Warner Brothers cartoons. But, yeah, the Disney, I went, first time I went to Disneyland was 1965, about 10 years after it opened. And, you know, had a great time. I went to Disneyland so many times and had a great experience.
Yeah, I enjoyed all those Disney movies. And Disney just isn't the same as it used to be.
No, it's like anything else. Other agendas got brought into the Disney universe.
Now, I will say that when I was in the 60s, again, when I was a kid, I loved Saturday morning. Because Saturday morning was the only day for cartoons.
Yeah.
And I would get up at 6:30 in the morning and I'd start watching cartoons, maybe 7 o'clock. I'd get up just to watch, and I couldn't record them. So, you know, if you wanted to watch them. And, of course, Bugs Bunny and all of those, Woody Woodpecker and the Roadrunner and all of those are the classic cartoons. And I remember the first Saturday morning show. Oh, one of my favorites was a puppet-type show called XL5 was a spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
And they had these puppets.
Kind of the beginning of Johnny Quest and all
that. Yes, and that was so awesome. I love that.
Made Britain.
And I actually looked it up on YouTube a couple years ago, and I was so disappointed.
Yeah,
It's not as I remembered it.
Do you know there's a direct correlation between XL5 and Star Wars?
No.
Because the guy who did Star Wars, he was a big fan of XL5.
Oh, yeah. XL5 was so cool.
And wanted to live in that world. So he created a whole universe around that world. You know, going to, you know.
Oh, yeah. It was so great. And when the command module of the XL5 would separate from the main ship.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. If you really look closely, I mean, you don't even have to look closely. You see the strings of the ships and the puppets and all that.
Kind of like.
And I don't remember seeing those when I was a kid.
See, my favorite one was Gumby and Pokey.
I don't remember that.
Gumby and Pokey were claymation. And what they did is they would just move them. One, each frame was done by itself. And even the talking on the clay thing was, you know, to open their mouth, they'd take a picture with the mouth closed and then open. And they do the whole dialogue. Took forever to do. And the Adventures of Gumby and Pokey.
Yeah. The Adventures of Gumby and Pokey. I remember the first new Saturday morning cartoon show that came on, and I was so disappointed. And something told me that things were about to change, and not necessarily for the better. Yeah. And it was called the Banana Splits. God. And it was a little band. It was a band.
Yeah.
And they were the Banana Splits, and they had some little adventures or misadventures, and I didn't like it at all. And I'm going, what happened to Bugs Bunny? You know,
well, that was a Hanna-Barbera thing.
Yes, it was Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of went along with that whole thing of the monkeys.
Yes, and I was a fan of the monkeys. I liked the monkeys. In fact, I thought the monkeys were better than the Beatles for a short period of time.
Yeah,
that was me. But I soon realized, no, not so much.
I got to meet Michael Nesmith, the one that always wore the
stocking cap.
Yeah.
He was kind of the troublemaker.
He was the only actual, to start out with, the only actual musician.
With musical. But he always thought more of his ability and the talent than was really there, I think. But anyway. But I don't know.
I don't know. He actually had some legs in his career. Later on, he became, when the start of video, music video, he was the first big one, first one that started music videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Beatles did too. They did music videos.
So, thinking of cartoon characters,
yeah.
I'm kind of taking a little transition here.
Sure.
And, you know, connect it with North Idaho, all right?
There's a cartoon character?
Well, you know, if North Idaho has a spirit animal, cartoonish, would it be Mickey or Donald or Goofy or someone else?
Jeez.
Pinocchio?
I don't know. If you take away the name Yosemite.
Yosemite Sam?
Yeah, it would be Yosemite Sam.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Not the Tasmanian devil?
No. It would be Yosemite Sam. Mm. You know, that, you know, with the shooting, tooting, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, that would be Idaho.
I think I'd be like maybe Goofy. Or maybe, Goofy. Yeah, not Pluto, but Goofy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Or maybe the Tasmanian devil.
I don't know.
I've never given it too much thought.
Too much thought.
Who's your spirit animal?
Spirit animal, what I most relate to. Wow. Cartoon character, I just can't think of
it. It doesn't have to be a cartoon character. I know what mine was, and it's kind of embarrassing.
What is it? Go ahead. Come on.
When I was in junior high, I must have read a book. I loved otters.
Okay.
Otters.
Okay.
They swim around, and they had fun, and they played. But then when I found out what they ate, I kind of lost interest in the otters. I go, no, I don't want to be an otter.
Yeah.
Because they ate the raw fish and whatever. But they had cute little paws, hands.
Yeah.
And they just swim around and all that kind of stuff. And they're kind of cool.
I think in the beginning when I was young, real young, it was Elvis. And, you know, everywhere he went, he'd go be a race car driver. And then he'd go sing a few songs with the band.
Well, he's not a spirit animal, though.
Yeah, I know.
But that's who you wanted to grow up to be like.
I wanted
to grow up to be an otter, and you wanted to grow up to be Elvis.
Yeah. I think so many people of my generation, pre-Beatles, related to that. And then later on, it was Clint Eastwood, kind of like an Outlaw Josie Wells thing.
I think I was, you know who, on those Elvis Presley movies, the guy I really liked was Lee Van Cleef. The bad guy.
How many? Are you talking about Clint Eastwood movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Van Cleef. Yeah. He was the thin guy.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't he in the Fistful of Dollars?
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. And yeah, I loved Lee Van Cleef.
He had a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot more successful than people gave him credit for. Because he was in Gunsmoke. He was in all these TV shows and everything.
Great career.
And one of the characters in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was a guy patterned after Lee Van Cleef. Because at the end of the Western era, when they quit doing Westerns on television and all those characters were looking for a place to land, that's kind of what Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was all about. So he was in there somewhere.
Anyway, look up Lee Van Cleef. Watch some of his movies.
He's very good. He's a very interesting guy. A lot more deeper than... You know, the villains in Hollywood are the ones with the interesting stories.
What do they call those here? The anti-hero?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the guys who are the bad guys, there was one that was in a lot of Hollywood westerns and all that kind of stuff. And he was actually, the guy spoke seven languages. I can't think of his name. But he spoke seven languages. He was in the CIA. And he was a bad dude from World War II. You know, that he was a commando, but yet he always played the bad guy.
Well, you'll have to do some research and get back with us on that.
He was in Rich Man, Poor Man. I can't think of his name.
Oh, not Nick Nolte.
No, it was the guy who, I think, that Nick Nolte fought in Rich Man, Poor Man on the boat. But that guy had a past that was just unbelievable.
Rich Man, Poor Man is a great mini TV series.
Oh, great.
If you guys want to check that out sometime, that's a fantastic show.
Yeah, and it never gets aired.
No, you'd have to find it online or stream it or something. I don't know.
Made for TV.
Peter, who's the guy, it was about a good brother and a bad brother.
Yeah.
And the good brother was, and then in the end you're going to go, no, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to be the good brother. He's not so good. And he gets corrupted.
That's really cool.
Peter Strauss? Something like that.
Yeah,
he becomes a senator, and he gets corrupted, and his other brother starts out really bad, and then he kind of figures it out. Ed Asner? He was in that.
That's the dad.
Yeah, he was the dad, and those the two brothers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, We're descending down another rabbit hole.
That's okay. We live for rabbit holes.
We live for rabbit holes. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you looking something up?
I'm looking up that guy's name.
Okay.
But it's okay. Let's continue on.
Well, I got one last topic that I want to talk about, which kind of relates to Mickey and Minnie, because being released November 22nd, 1995, 30 years ago, was Toy Story. Toy Story.
Yeah. No,
I love Toy Story.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of childhood memories, you know, that's, you know, now my question is, we all know if you have not seen Toy Story, you need to check that out. They ended up having three movies, you know, I think.
Right. And, you know, that was the last great. I think Cars and Toy Story were some of the last great, you know, the last great Disney stuff.
Well, Toy Story, according to my research, was the first completely computer animated feature film in history. And, of course, it featured Buzz Lightyear.
Yep.
And Woody.
Right. Who played Buzz Lightyear?
Tim Allen. And then who did Woody?
Don't know.
Oh, really?
Who did Woody?
Tom Hanks.
Man.
And now, as we close this podcast, I have an embarrassing confession to make. Mark and I actually talked for another 20 minutes on our podcast, and I thought the microphone was working, but it wasn't. The last 20 minutes are lost. They're gone. The lost episode, or the last end of this episode. And I apologize. So, in honor of Thanksgiving week, I guess I'm just going to have to be a turkey here and admit that I goofed up. I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened, but it's gone. But as we do wrap up today's episode, I find myself thinking about how life in North Idaho has this way of mixing the serious with the sentimental, and even the downright silly. I guess not recording the last 15, 20 minutes kind of ties in with how silly this podcast was. One moment we're talking about dangerous truck drivers barreling down Highway 95 as if it's the Indianapolis 500, and the next moment we're remembering that on this same week in history, the world lost a president. We met four mop-topped musicians who changed music forever, and we celebrated the birthdays of Mickey Mouse and the entire Toy Story universe. Only on Almost Paradise in North Idaho can we cover all of that in one coffee-scented conversation. And we talked a lot about Toy Story, which was lost because my microphones stopped recording. But anyway, there's still something meaningful in the mix that we did talk about, because life really is that strange combination of joy and sorrow and wonder. And did Mark really say that on air? Yes, he did. And yes, I really did ask him if he wanted to hold my hand in honor of the Beatles' big anniversary. And no, he did not. Apparently, there are limits to our friendship, and that's probably for the best. But look at the span of what we touched on today. The fragility of life, the memories that shaped a nation, the power of music, and the way a cartoon mouse and, yes, a cowboy doll can make us smile decades later. All of it, from the heavy to the light, reminds us of the world that God put us in, a world that's unpredictable, sometimes dangerous, often beautiful, and filled with moments that invite us to pause and think. Scripture reminds us in Ecclesiastes that to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to remember history, a time to laugh at ourselves, a time to be cautious when driving down Highway 95, and a time to celebrate the simple joys like singing a song that takes you back, or watching a beloved animated world come to life again. We need all of those seasons. The serious ones keep us grounded. The joyful ones keep us going. And the funny ones, especially when Mark's involved, well, those remind us not to take ourselves too seriously. Proverbs tells us a cheerful heart is good medicine. Sometimes that medicine comes in the form of a good laugh and a friend who refuses to hold your hand on a Beatles anniversary. So as you head into the rest of your week and we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving, may you carry the lessons of today. Be alert on the road. Be grateful for the history that shaped us. Cherish the music that lifts your spirit. And don't be afraid to smile at the little things. Whether it's Mickey Mouse turning another year older, or Buzz Lightyear shouting to infinity and beyond, which we didn't actually get to talk much about. And remember, God is present in all of it. The heavy moments, the light moments, and even the goofy moments. Thanks for sharing a bit of your day with us here in Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And until next time, stay safe, stay grateful, stay joyful, and this week especially, stay thankful for all of the blessings that you and I and all of us enjoy every day. Bye-bye.